Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Shay Osoyimi, enjoy the Spirit.
Help will come from Zion. Zion will intervene in the name of Jesus. That which has been, who will stand up for me? The Bible said that Daniel stood up, that prince of Israel stood up for his people. I pray that angel will stand up for us in the presence of the Holy One. That Lord, help will come. Help will come. Smiles will return to the faces of your people. Joy will return to their hearts. Songs of joy will be sung again in Zion. Your people will again rejoice in your presence. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this day. I ask that the ancient words will be spoken again. You come fresh. You will speak. You will thunder. Our enemies will hear you. And they will flee. In the name of Jesus. Let it be testified in our generation that there is no people like us who had his God so close to them. Let that be our testimony in the name of Jesus. I thank you, our Father. I bless your great name. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Amen. Can we appreciate the choir? Can we appreciate them? The Lord bless you. Amen. Can we open our Bibles? I want to run quickly the next 30 minutes. God will help me. 1 Samuel. Interesting story. But pathetic consequences. Are you there? 1 Samuel 13. I'm not going to be able to read. It spills into chapter 14. I'll just take certain verses and then we'll move on. Verse 1. Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, he chose 3,000 men of Israel, wherefore 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. And Jonathan smoothed the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines. Now, who smote the garrison of the Philistines? It was Jonathan. But what they heard was that it was Saul. But nevertheless, no problem. And that Israel also had in abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand, which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. And when the men of Israel saw, everybody say saw, they saw that they were in a strait. That means they saw they were in trouble. They were in distress. How can this number of people come against you and you will not be distressed? The Bible said the people were like the seashore, sand on the seashore. They were distressed, the Bible said. Then the people did what? Hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. What kind of fighting men were this? This was an army. They were summoned to war. And what did we see? When they saw the formidableness. Is that correct English? This is by pastoral English. Every man changed their minds about fighting. They ran away. This has been the recurrent story about the people of God. Every time they are summoned to war, every time they are summoned to battle, like I said on Thursday, you either initiate a conflict or you have a conflict initiated against you. Praise the Lord. Now, the first day that Saul was anointed king, the Bible specifically told us that Saul informed him that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you should do as it pleases you. Now, this is what you must understand about the anointing. You can use the anointing the way you choose to use the anointing. That's why if you are not properly formed, you may put yourself in trouble. The Bible says when the anointing rested upon Saul, he began to prophesy like the prophets. And he began to dance like the prophets. And the prophets danced in front of the garrison of the Philistines, and he did nothing about that situation. 2 years after, he has to come back and confront the same Philistines. Primarily, the anointing is for warfare. They don't give anointing, but primarily, the anointing of a king is the anointing for warfare. When you shout, God has made us kings and priests, then you must understand the principle behind it is for warfare. He has to come back to face the same Philistines. Now, the man did not initiate the battle. The Bible says Jonathan initiated the battle in far away Gibeah, somewhere. And because of that, the enemy was incensed and gathered all his forces against Israel. There are times when what you did not do, somebody may cause a problem in Abeokuta there, and all of us there will be in trouble. What happened to the church? They said, Jesus Christ said, you'll be a witness. My witness in Jerusalem. Eh? In Samaria? No. You know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. My brethren stood in Jerusalem and they were doing fellowship. They were enjoying the gifts of the Spirit. Then the man initiated the conflict. His name was who? Huh? Stephen. Without the permission of the apostles, the man initiated conflict. He went to the camp of the enemy and told them that you people are resisting the Holy Ghost. And before you knew it, war broke out. Now, how do you respond when war breaks out? Oh, Psalm 27, I love this verse. Can you give me Psalm 27? Is it Psalm 27? Well, no. This is 27. The Lord is my light. This is the confession of a warrior. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The reason for the problem with Israel was fear. Satan has always used the same principle against us. It's an eternal principle of warfare. Once you can intimidate, the battle is over. It's called shock and awe. That's how the Americans called it. When they marshaled weapons of war and the Iraqis saw it, men began to change sides. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? That is what the Philistines did. They marshaled their chariots. They marshaled their horsemen. Then they brought in their infantry. When Israel saw it, everybody began to enter caves. It's called fear. But David said this, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Look at the next verse. I like this. He said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Verse 3. Though an host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. You know what? What Saul faced was an host. Hallelujah. In a time in your life, you will face an host. It will be as if you are trapped. In fact, they were trapped. That's what the Bible said. When they were in a state, that means they were distressed. They were trapped. They've been outmaneuvered. They've been circled. If we go further in that story, the Bible says, and the Philistines sent out three bands, raiding bands. They went to three strategic positions that encircled the whole Israel. It was a pincer move. Do you understand pincer move? Strategic pincer move. That if they are choke points, if those cities capitulate, the battle was over. And they saw that, and everybody took to his heels, that this fight is not worth fighting at all. In every conflict, you always find people who are always afraid. You always will find them like that. It's like that. And that's what, and the reason is heart. Everybody say heart. David said, when even an host will encamp against me, I will not fear. Even though war should rise against me, this will be my confidence. What kind of human being was David? And what kind of human being was Saul? Now, you will understand what I'm saying if we come to David. These same men fought under David. These same men that ran into caves. Are you with me? When they came under the command of David, the Bible says these men became valiant in battle. What was this problem? It was the confidence that their leaders radiated. David was never afraid. David was always like, oh, they have come, oh, praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah. They are getting, oh, Father, we are, how is going on, bros? Are you with me? That is what it means. It depends on what your attitude. This man had an attitude for victory. The others had a defeatist attitude. Those who will win this battle or win this war are men who are not afraid. Remember Revelation chapter 12? The Bible says this man won, defeated the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Be not afraid for their lives. Every army that will win is an army that must have dealt with fear. And every opportunity that comes to you in life, they are trainings to help you deal with that enemy called fear. Hallelujah. If you can deal with the fear of death, it is difficult to kill that kind of person. It's difficult to fight that kind of person. The reason why Americans can't fight Al-Qaeda is because Al-Qaeda are not afraid of death. A man will put on a bomb and walk into your midst and blow himself up. How do you fight that kind of person? I mean, the reason why you are fighting is because many American soldiers are not, they too fear. They like good life. Am I talking to you? Because the original American soldiers have died. The ones you have are their bread and butter, cheese soldiers. Praise the Lord. You as a person must learn how to deal with your fears. Many of us have different fears. Some of us have cockroach fear. If cockroach enter here, you'll be afraid. If lizard run through your legs there, and all of you will jump up and somersault. If you are still afraid of lizard, how do you want to confront Goliath? Am I talking to you? Many of you are afraid of your lecturer to tell your lecturer, sir, content say Yoda, because he will fail you. And so what? You know, if you go to battle, the worst that can happen to you is to die. They will kill you now. That's the worst case scenario. So how do you handle the opportunities for trainings that comes your way? For in this case, Saul did not handle it properly. The Bible said, of course, Samuel sent a word to him. He said, wait for me in Gilgal 7 days. And I will be there. Hallelujah. Remember, Saul has faced this, he has failed his first test. See, there are tests God gives you that he will not tell you he's testing you. May you not fail when God is testing you. He didn't know God was testing him. They sent David. When David was anointed king, that same garrison, that was the first thing he said. He said, who will take that garrison? You now began to see the differences between their kingdoms and their leadership. He said, who will take that garrison for me? The first garrison he took was the garrison of the Jebusites before he began to deal with the Philistines. Hallelujah. Having said that, they said to him, take me back to 9, verse 9. And so, okay, go back a little bit. 7. Let's start from 7. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. They began running away. And as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him trembling. One of the most devastating things to do is to go to battle with people who are not sure of themselves. People who are afraid. Because in the thick of the battle, they will desert you. They will leave you alone. You just discover that everybody has fled. You are the only one in the middle of the battle. They will just surround you and take you out. And he knew he was in trouble. All of them were in trouble. Verse 8. And the Bible said, told us the story. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Samuel said he was coming in 7 days. Wait for me, 7 days. The seventh day was not over. By the seventh day, his army had reduced to 600. He started with 3,000 men, but they are reduced to 600. How do you fight? How do you find that kind of host? The 600 men who were still trembling in their pants. You know what it means to tremble? How many have had malaria fever before? Have you had malaria before? Sir, we have come at attention. You knew it was all of us in trouble. They were trembling and they had reduced to 600. And the Bible says, tarried for 6 days. Now, the Bible speaks about patience. As see, you don't understand that these things they call fruit of the Spirit are actually instruments of warfare. They are not for church. Are you with me? It's not when you come to church you exercise patience. No. These are warfare programs. These are warfare technologies. Patience. Long suffering. Endurance. Hallelujah. This man patiently waited for 7 days. But by the seventh day, his patience ran out. And he could not enter long suffering. After long suffering, you now enter endurance. Hallelujah. So you cannot beat God at it. 7 days was set. For 7 days, Samuel had not come to Gilgal. Have you had a time appointed that if something is not done, you are done for? And you have prayed, God, am I the duty? On the said day, God has not showed up. Then what do you do? Pay attention, please. We all often fall into the same trap. There are times when God answers prayers immediately. God has a way of not coming to time. I think God is very good at that. It's usually his nature. If you really want to know God, this is where you begin to know him. God, now! He will say, no, 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 no. Have you died? No, God, I'm going to die. I will come when you die. Then you say, what is good is it for me to die? Will the dead praise me? That is exactly what I want. I want the dead to praise me. But most of us can't wait. We don't have the capacity to wait for God. Somebody suffers a delay in life and he believes that God has been unfaithful to him or her. The first lesson I learned when I was growing as a believer was one of our mentors, who was our former president of the fellowship. He did industrial chemistry. Was a first class student. But in finals, when they were writing the finals exam, he was working in the laboratory. And while it was a lab exam. While he was doing the lab, one of the bakers fell and slashed his hands. I think it was his right hand. And it was a very terrible accident. He could not do the exams again. It was a whole session carryover. President of fellowship. Man of God. Where was God? Ha, bro. Hey, they pray. I think he prayed that morning. But God is walking a walk. He said he repeated that whole session. Because in those days, it was Almighty. They had not come up with a unit course that you do one semester. It's Almighty Jew. If you flunk it, you have flunked the whole session. You start all over again. Before they turned it to them. So, he had to repeat the whole session. He passed. And by the time he was graduating, PZ was a vacancy. The vacancy for his job. That was time to open. They just came to him like and picked him. He has been PZ since. If he had graduated that year, he was to graduate his next, he would have been looking for a job around the place. But you see, at the time that accident took place, nobody could see what was going on. But he patiently endured it. I can understand, brethren, when I there was a particular day I had Apollo. I was a member of this ESCO. And the brother came to me, "Brother Shay, you have Apollo. How can you have Apollo?" Kappa Shantaya Barababa. I didn't have faith. I felt miserable. Testing in hypocrisy 101. Christian hypocrisy. They do as if you are not supposed to be sick. As if you are not supposed to have, your tire is not supposed to puncture. There was a time when my car, my Mazda 323, had the engine knocked. And some people were rejoicing that my engine knocked and that the plane of life is beating me. He actually is in Germany. So when my friend said, why did you? I said, but I brought the car to Akure now, that I have money to repair it. You thank God. May God give you the resources to deal with the devil. The devil knocked my engine and God provided money to buy another one. What is your problem? Amen. But they rejoice. I said the person who is rejoicing, share his own car has not knocked before. Praise the Lord. In any case, what I'm trying to say is that there are times in your life that you find yourself in this kind of situation. A delay that can cause you embarrassment. Why are you not man enough to go into it and see what God will do? Most of the time, God never says be until you enter the fire. That's what I cannot understand. What kind of God is it that will allow those guys to enter the fire? He did save them before the fire. They said, "Be it known unto you, Nebuchadnezzar, that we will not bow." And if our God will not save us, we still will not bow. And God waited until they enter fire. You can imagine how they were going. And we are talking, we made our mouth, our boast in the Lord. And God kept quiet. Until they threw them, fam. That's when now showed up. Can you boys how far? I look at my. He's an expert. But look at what the Bible says in Hebrews. There's some people refuse deliverance. He says they're God. Look, I have nothing to prove to you. I have nothing to do what? Look, I'm not doing anything to impress you. Hallelujah. Keep your focus on the Lord. Even if your faith in God proves to be foolish, the Bible says God was not ashamed to be called their God. That was how people saw them. How dare you think that God can step into a situation? And God did not step into many people's situation. God allowed them to be crucified. God allowed many of them to be sawn asunder. This reality that Isaiah was sawn asunder. What kind of God will let his prophet that served him faithfully for so many years? That is God. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? And because he saved you and did not save her, does not make her less daughter of God than you. So don't compare yourselves based on those externalities. Hallelujah. And because Paul was interested in being honored in the sight of his people, he did something very foolish. The Bible said, where are you going? Where are you going? Praise God. Can you go take back to my story? 1 Samuel. Chester is actually preaching this message with me. But I'll come back there. Thank you for showing me that scripture. And it tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. 9. And Saul said, "Bring me either a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And what did he do? He offered a burnt offering. This is the most foolish thing you can do. This is a sacred responsibility of a priest. It's not given to a mere man to offer a burnt offering to God. Are you with me? It was not his responsibility. It was not within his privy as a king to do that. But because, you see, listen to me. in those days and even now, every physical battle is first settled in the spiritual realm. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They must do what? Must settle it there. Every nation goes to war with their gods. It's actually the battle of gods. Hallelujah. Blessed are thou if you have a priest on your side who can offer the right offerings and release the angels of heaven to go to battle on your behalf. Amen. So that was what he needed. He needed God to step into the situation. And without an offering, God won't step in. So he foolishly offered it. And look at the interesting thing. Verse 10. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel showed up. What kind of timing is that? Samuel could have showed up just about the time he was about to give the offering. Samuel could have showed up just about the time he was doing the offering. But Samuel showed up when he was finishing the offering. You want to tell me, see, God put him in this position to test his heart. This is what he called test. This is not trial. This is what he called what? Test. He was doing an exam and he didn't know it. They timed Samuel's. I mentioned Samuel was have been hurrying and they kept delaying Samuel. Maybe Samuel moved a little, they will show him one vision. He will stop. Then the angel will show to the. They just kept delaying Samuel until Samuel came on time. Because they had an anticipation that Saul was going to go that wrong way. May God help you. When it is crucial for you, you won't make the wrong decision. Mercy will preserve you. Mercy will help you. The grace of God will be revealed to you in the name of Jesus. I want to believe that it was primarily, you see, hey, may God have mercy. Saul was the wrong person from the beginning. He came at the wrong time. The Bible says Israel asked for a king. The Bible says out of annoyance, God gave them a king. And out of anger, he destroyed him. It was a product of anger. May you not be that in the name of Jesus. For he said of David, I have found for myself a king. May God find you in the name of Jesus. It's a sad commentary of his father's life. But he had the opportunity to have repented, but for whatever reason, we don't know. And the Bible says, Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Next verse, look at this. And Samuel said, what have thou done? And here again. And Saul said, because I saw that the people killed Saul. When you become a man pleaser, they will kill you. When you want to please all men. Now, I'm not saying you should not be at peace with all men. He didn't say be a pleaser of all men. There are two different things. That I'm at peace does not mean that I must please you. And I have no. Pastor, I don't like the way you dress today. That's your problem. If my wife likes it, and she doesn't like it, too bad. My dress, I've come to church. That she doesn't like the things I wear. I just said, I like it. Praise the Lord. But she actually has dresses I don't like. So I don't complain. That's the reason why she's always complaining about me. I don't. Maybe I will. Pastor, take care. Don't worry. God will provide. As he provided for Abraham a lamp, he will provide for me clothes. Thank you very much. Touched material. And he said, what I saw the people scatter from me, and that came back not within the days appointed. And please be careful of excuses. Saul never owned up for his errors. He always had a reason, an excuse. A reason is different from an excuse. You know that. You can have a reason, but you will not excuse yourself. I like this. There was a particular quote that I came across when I used to read comics. That character in Avengers said, I am not ashamed to own up to my mistakes, but I am courageous enough to correct it. And that thing stuck with me since. I'm not ashamed to own up. This man never owned up to anything he did. That is what it was wrong. He kept giving excuses. He says, you did come on time. The people were scattering, and the Philistines were gathered together. They had been gathering for a long time. But yet, he used that as an excuse. And look at what Samuel said. Verse 12. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not missed supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a offering. Nobody begged you to force yourself. There are many things we do that we force ourselves to do. Many of you pray, Lord, is this sister I want to marry? Is this brother I want to marry? But I am already 35 years. Let me force myself. I will marry you. You know, you understand what I'm trying to say? You've been waiting upon the Lord, but the Lord has not spoken. And you are taking a position. You are doing exactly what this man did. You are doing exactly what he did. You are forcing yourself to do what you ought not to do. It may look good, because the people saw him make the sacrifice, they saw the smoke go up, and they were okay. But it was not good. And hear what Samuel said in 14. And Samuel said this in 14. He said to Saul, thou art done foolishly. Thou art not kept the command of the Lord your God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. If you have passed this test, your kingdom would have been forever. Grace would have been revealed to him. His mistakes would have been overlooked. But now you have done foolishly. He says, what did he say? But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. The Lord had commanded him to be captured by his people, because thou had not kept that which the Lord commanded. That was the end of Saul's kingdom. His kingship. Because of one foolish act. Do you know why many people don't never finish well? Like Brother Emmanuel said this morning, it is just one foolish act. One unguided behavior. One, just one wrong decision, and everything will go out of control. Hallelujah. If you don't finish well, you must constantly keep guard over your heart. It's a continuous vigilance. Hallelujah. He didn't continue. And unfortunately, he didn't even fight that war. Hallelujah. The Bible now told us the real situation in Israel. That Israel had no weapon to fight. He gathered men together and there was no weapon for them to fight. The Philistines had taking the means of fighting from their hands. They had no swords. They had nothing. They had to be going to the land of the Philistines every time to go and sharpen their instruments. So when they came to sharpen swords, the Philistines would not allow them to sharpen their swords. But you can sharpen your plowshares. You can sharpen the instruments of for farming, but not that for war. So they rendered, they castrated Israel and made it impossible for them to fight. The Bible said only two of them had swords. Saul and Jonathan. Praise the Lord. So when this matter went on, hallelujah, the Bible said that Jonathan called his armor bearer. And now I've dovetailed into chapter 14. When Jonathan, knowing the problem they were all in, told his armor bearer, let us go up and show ourselves to the Philistines in their garrison. He said, if they bid us come to them, then God has given them into our hands. But if they say, wait and let us come and meet you, it's time for us to run. That was what Jonathan said. Now, and it's so interesting that God could put this thought in his mind. I pray that God will put the right thoughts in your mind in Jesus' name. Because there are things in life you don't know what to do. There is no counsel anywhere in the Bible that will tell you whether you should go to Lesha Garage or should go to Futa Junction. Is there anywhere in the Bible they wrote it? Except the Lord puts the right thoughts in your mind. I'm talking about being strategic. Look at the move of God to Ethiopia, the move of God to Africa, to sub-Saharan Africa. He said to Philip, say, go join yourself to this chariot. Those were strategic moves. God will bring you to a person Now you must be sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit. I had a friend. He was an under level. I was a 200 level. He was in mass communication. He was a squatter. My roommate was a Muslim. Are you with me? He's from Ife, Mudakeke. But there was a free, fine boy thing. For one whole session, I made their life miserable. You know what I mean by making their life miserable? Every day I used to talk to them about Christ. Anyhow, they join and we eat them. If you come from this direction, I had an answer to give them. Hallelujah. They were miserable. I didn't know they were miserable until later. So for 2 years or thereabout, I was in 400 level, they were in 300 level. I beg your pardon, praise God. So when I got to 500 level, and it was a 400 level, we met, we just resumed session, and I saw Aki. How are you? Fine. So where are you? I said, I mean, kidding now. They gave me new Olu. I said, that is very good, though. Praise God. It's a type of. So about 2 weeks after, I got into the room, and I didn't like the room they gave me. So I changed from New Hall to Jaja Hall. Are you with me? So the one morning I woke up, and I was stood on the balcony, and who did I see under me? It was Aki. Aki Afa. Belegoni. What are you doing here? This is my room. Where's your room? He said, yeah, I'm in trouble. You came to look for me again. I said, kilo, ah. He said, no, don't come and visit me. I continue making his life miserable. One day he got angry. Never in your life talk to me again. And abuse me and walk out on me. What kind of insult is this? We are trying to say somebody is insulting you. Hey, don't have a left fire, go left fire. Holy Ghost said, no. You don't understand. It's a game plan. Go back and meet him. I said, look, you just started. Abuse me more than that. I will leave you alone. For all session, I kept going to his room. I kept bombarding. I made his life miserable. He said, oh God, what did I do? This broke down. What do I do? Unbeliever. Then I kept pestering him. Then the last day, the last Sunday we had to spend together in school, before we depart, we had finished our exams. I said, Aki, you must follow me to church. I said, for 2 years I've been on your neck. And I said, this one time, honor me. Okay. I went to wait for him. We got late to church, you would mind. I paid with my own money and took him to church. He sat down in church. He had the message. When the man of God did the altar call, he came out and gave his life to Christ. When he came back and sat down, he said, you have won eventually. That was my job. And I never saw him again. I've not seen him till today I speak. Not on Facebook or anywhere. I don't even know his full name anymore. What are the strategic positionings and promptings that God is leading you to? All the activities of heaven is for one purpose, that men might be saved. If you are not walking a walk that is allowing men to hear the gospel of the grace of God, then something is wrong somewhere. Am I talking to you? Strategically, God put a thought in his heart and he stepped out with his armored bearer and spoke to the Philistines, saying, guys, how far? He said, you guys have come out of hiding at last. If your mother burned your father, come and meet us. He said, are you one guy? Let us go. So he gave his armored bearer his sword. The sword was with the armored bearer. And Jonathan stepped into battle without any protection. Now that was a man. And the Bible says, as he was coming, they began to fall before him. And as he walked and they fell, his armor bearer, who was coming behind him, was choking their stomach. So by the time he was entering into the camp, the Philistines began to panic. Now, what kind of human being has entered our camp? By mere presence of Jonathan, the anointing. It's not, look at it. This was not working with men of God alone. Man was just like, all of you all. This thing has been working in the Old Testament. What's the big deal? Hallelujah. What's the big deal? And he did not start a church because of that. That's a story for another day. And so the Bible recorded that as he began, he had killed about 20 or 30 of them, and there was panic in their camp. And when the commotion, of course Israel, they noticed it, and suddenly Saul now marshaled his army to go into battle. But he made something. Again, he made a very rash decision. He said, "Cursed be anyone that tastes food." Why will you put people under a curse? What is the essence of that? And the people fought and fought. But you see, something happened. God did not give him victory. Somewhere, God did not allow him to annihilate the Philistines. And he knew it, that there was an hindrance in the spirit. He couldn't advance in life. I think, look, when you have problems in life, instead of you going to a real okay, you should spend some time asking God, what have I done wrong? What have I done wrong? Something is not right. What am I doing wrong? It's not every time you go against your enemies. That's why I find it very funny. When they spend their whole days praying over enemies, they are their enemies of themselves. Saul was the enemy of Israel at that material time. And for one reason or another, he got to know that somebody had broken the vow. And he made the next statement. He said, "Whosoever broke that vow will be killed." Then they now told him, "Jonathan, your son, broke it." And he said, "Today he will die." He goes, "Elilah, if you dare it, he will kill you." It was Jonathan that got us victory. Without your cause, what did you do for us? May God help us. We are speaking about leadership this morning. Be careful who leads you to battle. Pray for those who will lead you to battle, that they will not make rash vows. They will not make rash statements. You see, leadership is terrible. That's why Paul said, "Pray for us." It's not just for preaching sake, but decision's sake too. When he said, "Pray for your leaders who are in authority, so that Jonathan will not declare war on Congo, then all of you will be conscripted." Are you with me? He can do it. He's the commander in chief of the armed forces. He can wake up tomorrow after you and say, "What is going on in this country? There's too much peace. You there, just enjoy." Yeah. They go to Cameroon, declare war on Cameroon, and that's the end. They will conscript all of you. Yeah, all of you, because you, as they're speaking, you start carrying AK-47 rifle. Yeah, how will you go and preach to Cameroon soldier who is shooting at you? The Lord loves you. They will. Praise the Lord. That's why we pray for them. Not because they are good guys, so that they don't make wrong decisions. Hallelujah. Can we bow our heads to pray? These are lessons we need to imbibe into our lives. Saul was a man not given to the things of the Spirit. He didn't learn the disciplines of the Spirit, the patience, the endurance, the long-suffering, the instructions of righteousness, the strategic promptings of the Spirit. These were things he did pay attention to. I want to pray for yourself. As he was vulnerable, we also are vulnerable. His son, Jonathan, was much more sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit. Jonathan was a man of faith. He was a man that had sight. He was a man of wisdom and understanding. He spoke to David. He said, "You will be the next king." He was a man that had no guile. A man that had no... It was a man secured in the grace of God in his life. He was a secured person. He was not like his father, who was insecure. I want to ask the Lord, help me. You need the Lord to help you as a person. I don't know your background. I don't know where you're coming from. At this point, you need to ask the Lord of heaven, "Change my heart. Deliver me from fear." That's a primary thing we need to be delivered from. As a leader, I need to be delivered from fear. That attitude that David had, that said that I will be glad when the enemy rises against me, because his confidence was much in the Lord. Oh, that my confidence will grow. Oh, that my confidence and my faith in God will grow. Oh, they asked Jesus, "Give us faith." And Jesus Christ said, if your faith is as small, if you are willing to unleash that faith, even if it's as small as that of a mustard seed, he said, you will speak to mountains. It is not the quantity, it is the willingness. So that the Lord will give me a kind of heart that is committed to finishing, that is committed to doing what is right. That heart that will not surrender to the enemy. It doesn't matter how many is arrayed against you in battle formation. It doesn't matter what the time appointed, whether it passes or it does not pass. It doesn't matter to you. You will stay focused. Even if that thing does not come into your hands, move on. It's not a loss. It's a lesson. It's a gain. Father, we thank you for this day. We bless your great name. My Father, I pray as you prepare those warriors to fight the fight of righteousness. I pray, Lord of heaven, that you will deliver us from the fear of the enemy and from the fear of death. In the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, for each and every one of us, that, Lord of heaven, we will be sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit. We pray that the training and the opportunities you bring our paths, bring our ways, we will not throw them away. We'll become sensitive and we will respond appropriately to them. Not like Saul, that did not understand what was going on in the spirit realm. But Lord, you will help us to understand and respond as we should respond in the name of Jesus. We thank you, our Father. We give you praise and glory because we pray together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our Men of Spirit field meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.